One Hand Speaks.
Hey, 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 here we go. One Hand Speaks podcast, episode 116. And this episode basically is just the keynote speak that I... Let me back that up. The keynote speech I delivered at the 2019 Hispanic Youth Symposium on the campus of Boise State University here in beautiful Idaho on August 4th. Yes, Sunday, just a few days ago. I was asked to fill in, and I thought it was just an absolute privilege. I've done the HYS, the Hispanic Youth Symposium, before in the past. I think it was 2014. Maybe that's when I first met Cool Speak. And I've been wanting to do it more because my good friend, Bobby Gaitan, is part of it. And he went through it back in the late 90s, and he's benefited from it. I know a lot of other people that have come through HYS. It's such a great organization. It's a great symposium because it brings universities and Hispanic and Latino kids together. It shows them about the universities, but I think what's really important is that they give out a lot of scholarships. And this year they gave out over $1 million in scholarships, which I think is amazing. And basically, if you attend and do some other things, you can get a scholarship. And for underrepresented minorities in the state of Idaho and the Pacific Northwest, I think that is just utterly amazing and outstanding good work. So yes, it is a privilege to be asked to deliver a keynote speech and share my story as a part-time Hispanic. Yes, my mother was born and raised in Mexico. You'll get to hear all that in my speech. But before I get to that, that was recorded there. The sound recording's not great. I didn't have a lot of time to dial it in. I couldn't plug straight into the board. It's just one of those things. So they asked me to do it, and I said yes, and I hit the ground running. But this will give everyone that's listening, just a little taste of how I deliver my speeches in a longer format. I believe this is about 43 minutes, 46 minutes long. And this is basically some of the package that I deliver. And it was a great time. They were a great audience. And once again, it was just simply a privilege to be a part of this because it is such a good thing. Normally, I'm gone all summer. If I'm not traveling the world doing some kind of speaking or international speech competition, I'm spending 2 months in a monastery on a Buddhist internship. So typically, I'm gone, but this year I wasn't, and my good friend Bobby asked, and I said yes, and this is the speech I delivered.
Now I got excited.
All right.
Too much? You gave me too much broccoli.
It's time to introduce the keynote speaker.
Oh my God.
So excited about this.
Yes. I want to read something, because this encapsulates this man perfectly. I did some research on him. Way too much research. And I first met him, actually, let me start with this. I first met Alejandro about 5 years ago when we had the first Hispanic Youth Symposium that was volunteer-led and organized. And I was moved by his message of kindness, and I became Facebook friends with him. And over the years, I followed his travels, and we actually, we were in the same country around the same time, not in the same city, but he went to Russia, he went to St. Petersburg, and I was in Moscow. And we were just talking yesterday about how beautiful Russia was. And one thing I love about him is that he has this, his love for travel and his love for adventure. And let me read this real quick because I love this right here. It says, when Alejandro Anastasio was a child, he wanted to grow up to be a Jedi Knight. Instead, he grew into a popular inspirational speaker, Buddhist teacher, and martial artist. Luke Skywalker would be proud. As Alejandro says on his website, you can do a lot with one hand. He likes to joke, need a hand? Give it up for Alejandro Anastasio, everyone.
You guys hear me? Oh, great. No, I like it when people applaud. You know why? Well, I need a hand. Okay, all right. tight. Okay, all right. Well, my name's Alejandro Anastasio. A lot of syllables in there, and I really enjoy having that name. Now, the first half, of course, is Spanish. My mother was born and raised in Mexico, in Oaxaca, and my father was born and raised in a small town in southern Italy called Gioiosa Ionica. And they both came to America. They're immigrants. They were chasing the American dream. And my father's story is fairly classic. He came over on a boat with a bunch of his brothers, and they landed in New York. They had friends in Indiana, so he ended up there opening up, well, he's Italian, a pizza parlor. And then my mom, she had a family who had some friends in Indiana, and she just always wanted to visit Indiana. Now, this was quite some time ago. And at that time in Indiana, if you happened to be black or brown or a little bit brown or something other than white, you just were marginalized and you couldn't go to the regular bars. So one day my dad's friends were like, oh, hey, I know where we can meet some Latin women. And then my mom's friends were like, oh, hey, I know where we can go tonight and meet some European and Latin men. So they met at this pub where if you basically you had to just be not white to get in. And they met there and they ended up dancing together and basically fell in love. And then, I know it's sweet, it's very sweet. It's about to get real, real sweet. Hang in there, okay? Hang in there. So when I got a little bit older, my parents loved telling the story, and I was like, well, Papa, Mama, how is it that you came to America, neither of you spoke English, and Mama only spoke Spanish, and my dad only spoke Italian. How did you guys communicate? And they both snicker. My dad, he was real happy to say, oh, we spoke the language of love. And you know, when I saw my parents dance, I could see how much they were in love. And it was really a very special thing. Now, it's really interesting. Like I said, you know, my mom came from Mexico, and my dad grew up in the country of Italy. I, on the other hand, was born and raised in the country of Indiana. Right? Not too far away, the great Midwest. I was born and raised in Indiana. And I have an interesting experience because my parents are immigrants. The only language I speak is basically English. I never learned Spanish, and my parents, they were a part of a large amount of discrimination, and they really wanted us to assimilate. That's my bag. So they didn't really speak any of their languages to us. The only time I really heard my parents speaking their languages, well, was when they was fighting, right? They started getting into it. But then, one day, my older brother was born, and then the next day, boom, I came out. I was born. Now, if you haven't noticed, I don't have two hands. I've spent my entire life without two hands. Ooh, hey, it's not that bad. I get 50% off all manicures. Yeah, I mean, I could stand up here for 40 minutes. I got like 40 minutes of time. I could stand up here and tell you horror stories. And I'm sure a lot of you could too. Everyone experiences hard things in life. I could share all the bad stuff. Hold on, this takes a second. Ah. I can tell you all the bad stuff, but that's not my bag, and I don't think you need to hear that. I'd rather share all the good stuff, like getting 50% off all manicures. There's a lot of benefits to not having two hands. You wouldn't necessarily think so, but there are. And then I like sharing that story, because I think it's more important to live a happy life, regardless of how it started. So you got a bad start, okay? Get in line. What's more important is a strong finish. Where are you going to go from here? What kind of voice are you going to make for yourself? How are you going to empower yourself? That was my thing. You know, when I was your age, I had no one-handed mentors. You know how hard they are to find? Yeah, so right now I actually mentor a lot of one-handed people of all ages, seven years old all the way up to like 47. People just reach out to me. That's kind of a bad joke, right? Okay, all right, you lighten it up a little bit. I like that. I like that. Yeah, it's been a real interesting experience. And I've been discriminated against in so many ways. I mean, trying to find a job. I'm pretty well educated. Yeah, I might have long hair, but I'm a little brown. But yeah, it can be real hard to find a job, and that hurts. And then when I was very young, yeah, kids could be very mean. Coaches were pretty mean. Yeah, I tried to play football. My coach told me I was a waste of his time. Yeah, that doesn't do a lot for a 12-year-old boy. Right? That doesn't do a lot. Yeah. So it took a lot of work to kind of weed through all that. And then now, you know, I'm a little bit older. I'm not a lot older, just a little bit older. I don't experience that much discrimination, so to speak, but, you know, it's interesting to deal with people's perception of me. You know, and basically what I deal with is other people's limitations of what they think I can or can't do. based on whatever, you know, if I don't have two hands. If they think they can't do something with two hands, they probably think I can't. So I don't get it that much. It's not extreme, but it's a little bit. It's a little bit. And then basically my whole life people have stared at me. This is why I cut my coat custom. You guys notice that sleeve, that side? Yeah, I like to tell people I got it off the rack this way. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in secondhand stores.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, you guys are tight. Wow, Sunday! Woo! Hair flip. Okay, just shake it up a little bit. Can I get a little bit? You don't have to make the noise. Just loosen up. All right. Yeah, because you got to be here. You got to be here with me. So basically, I get stared at a lot. It's really interesting because sometimes when people are staring at me, I can see them staring at me because, well, they're not looking at me. They're looking at my arm. It's really interesting. It can go on for long periods of time. People just gawk. It's a weird form of discrimination. I get it. I get it, right? But nonetheless, it's interesting. This is what I like to do when people are staring at my arm. Okay? People are staring at my arm, I do this. Yeah. Hold on. Let me hold the mic with that side. Yeah, isn't that weird? I call that my million-dollar gesture, because when I do it just right, everyone laughs. But typically what happens is that someone's staring at my arm, and I just let them stare and stare and stare, and then finally they look into my eyes, and I do this, and they freak out, right? And then they look at me, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, gotcha. Because it's like, well, dang, come on, I'll get a good look, right? Kids are great, because sometimes they'll just come up and grab my arm, like, what's this? You know, their parents look like this. I'm like, well, that's my little hand. I'm like, go ahead, get a good look. Take all your time. Yeah, touch me. Do whatever you want. Oh, yeah, get a good look. Enjoy it, right? I mean, it's me. So, yeah, of course you can. I don't mind at all. I'm totally used to it. I'm on the positive end of not having two hands. Not everyone is here. Not everyone is here. Okay, quick story. I was just in Tibet. Like 3 weeks ago, I was in Tibet. And I went up to this. We were up at like 15,000 feet, and they had this little like tourist area. People were selling stuff, and you could take pictures with yaks. That's not common. And cute little baby goats. I got some great pictures. But the big phrase I hear there is, looky, looky, no money. Because they want you to come look at their goods, but you don't have to pay. Right? Looky, looky, no money. Looky, looky, no money. I'm like, yeah, okay, looky, looky, no money. I've heard like 15,000 times already. I've only been there 8 minutes. Right? And then I look around, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to buy, and I notice this little kid's just staring at me. Right? Because in Tibet, if you don't have two hands, you're pretty much homeless. Yeah, and it's they're just amazed that I actually function. It's a culturally a whole different thing. And this kid is staring at me so hard, like now everyone's watching him, watching me. Right? Now this is an interesting moment in my life because it happens a lot. So finally I look at the kid, I look around and everyone is like this. Everyone's looking at me, looking at this kid now, and the kid's staring at my arm, and I just looked at him and I said, wow, looky, looky, no money. And everyone there laughed. We laughed so hard. Because it was such a beautiful human condition moment, cross-cultural. It was a real thing. And it broke any tension. It was a great moment. It was a great moment. But I'll tell you, it did take me a while to get used to not having two hands and liking it. Like, I actually like the way that I am. I cut my clothes to fit my body. I don't have any bionic parts. You know, I like the way that I am. And that really means something. And the more I like myself, the easier it is for you to like yourself. Because whatever it is you got that you don't like, you can fix or transform into something great. And that's the main thing. But I didn't do it alone. I've had a lot of mentors. Excuse me. I've had a lot of mentors. And I used to live in Seattle. One thing my parents always did was push for higher education. Neither of my parents are formally educated. I don't even know how far my dad got. Right back in the 40s in Italy, who knows? You know, and my mom certainly didn't have a very high education, but they just came chasing the American dream, and they really pushed education on me. And I was very fortunate to get into Indiana University. I got in on what's called an affirmative action program, which means they let people that are, well, a little brown or black or brown or slightly brown or maybe yellow or whatever color you want to say that you are, and I don't have a disability, I'm like the spokesperson for it, let this guy in. But just because you get an opportunity, that's not enough. You have to work hard. But I got into Indiana University, and I transferred to the University of Washington, and that's where I graduated. I earned a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology. I like to write and read. It's great. But then I'm living in Seattle. You guys, who've been to Seattle? Anyone been to Seattle? Oh, hey, you guys are a hit crew. Yeah, Pike Place Market, you go down there? Yeah, I worked in the Pike Place Market for about 3 years. And in two of those years, I used to work at a chili parlor. Right? Chili. This guy served nothing but chili. Yeah, four kinds of chili, yeah, vats, this kind of thing. And come to find out, the guy was ranked top 20 in the world. People came from all over the world to eat his chili. Now, when I was in the market, I was looking for a job, so I asked this woman named Nancy. She worked in the market, too. I said, hey, Nancy, I'm looking for another job. You know anybody in the market that's hiring? And she, it's so funny, she just looked at me. She sized me up. She's like, She's like, Joe Canavan's hiring at the chili parlor. And my heart sank a little bit. And she's like, yeah, that's right. He's the hardest person in the market to work for. I was like, well, I need a job, so let's go. And I get there and I ask for a job, and he does the same thing. He just eyeballs me like, And he looks at my arm for a while, and then looks back at me. He's like, all right, we'll give you a try. He's like, be here tomorrow at 11 a.m. So I thought I'd be real cool. I showed up at like 10 till 11, right? I'm all like ready to work, you know, I'm all excited. I got a new job. And I walk up to the door, and Joe's like looking at me through the window. And I get up to the door, and I thought he was going to let me in. He kind of opened up the door, and I thought he was going to open up the door. So I started to walk in, but the door was like only cracked, and I just went, ooh. He didn't even stick his head out. He just stuck his mouth out of the door. Hey, kid, what are you doing here? I was like, man, I got a job. I work here. He's like, oh, yeah, no, you're supposed to be here at 11. I'm like, I know, I came early. He's like, why? I was like, because I work here. He's like, no, you don't get it, kid. Your job starts at 11. It doesn't start at 10:50, and it doesn't start at 11:03. Your job starts at 11 a.m., and you need to be here right on time. Oh, I pooped my pants. Yeah, I was like, I don't even know if I want to do this, right? I don't even know if I want to play with this guy. But I needed a job, so I went in and I got that job. And I'll tell you what, though, from the get-go, it was like working on, the guy was like a captain of some kind of like ancient ship. He was so tight. Everything had a place. Everything had a way to do it, and I couldn't stray from it, right? So serving chili, I was only allowed to take one scoop of each chili and pour. And then like the sauce and then pour, and then the beans and then pour. If I double poured, he'd scream at me. Great thing about Joe is no matter how much trouble I got in, he only screamed at one volume, loud. And then the next day everything was fine. But yeah, I'll tell you what, man, it was a very interesting gig. Right? Because I mean, it was basically a chili parlor. And I don't think it was even this big, you know? It's such a small little hole in the wall. But there'd be like 100 people in line. Yeah, Joe, this guy, old school. I've seen him scream at people and take their chili away. No more chili for you! Tell him to leave and not come back. Yeah, what kind of guy is that? People would pull me aside like, how can you work for that man? Yeah, crazy cat. Couldn't figure him out. Never could figure him out. But for whatever reason, I kept staying. Right, about 4 days into my job, once a friend of mine came in and got some chili, and I gave him an extra spoon. Oh, yeah, you already know. You already know. And then at the end of the day, I was getting ready to leave. He's like, he never called me by my real name. He called me Andro. I mean, sometimes people call me Andro, right? Alejandro. A lot of people just call me Dro. But he called me Andro. They never changed. He's like, Andro, where's my spoon? I'm like, what? He said, where's my spoon? I'm like, what spoon? He's like, the spoon you must have gave away because the bowl to spoon to cup ratio doesn't work out. Yeah, I was backing up like this. Well, what are you talking about? He's like, the bowl to spoon to cup ratio. I have 50 cups, 50 bowls, 50 spoons. They all come in bags. And everybody only gets one. You get one bowl, one spoon, one cup, not more, nothing. So the only person making mistakes here, kid, is you. Where's my spoon? You had to change my pants again. It's like, who is this guy? Yeah, no, the guy was unreal. Totally unreal. But I learned a lot from that guy. I told him I gave the spoon to my friend. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. I was like, all right, then, whatever. You know, it's funny. I ended up working for that guy for 2 years. I know. Isn't that amazing? And then everything was like that. I mean, I could just talk about the chili parlor. But I got other stories I want to tell you. But I will share this with you. About 2 weeks into work, somebody asked me what the score was, because we had one radio and two TVs. Right, it's a chili parlor. It's mostly dudes drink beer, watch TV, and eat chili while their wives are shopping. That was Joe's thing. So I didn't know the score of whatever sport was on. I didn't even know what sport it was. And then Joe just started screaming at me again. And people in the parlor were like, oh, he's in trouble again. And I was like, what? what do you mean? And he said, you know, we have two TVs and one radio, and you need to know everything. Who's playing, and every time the score changes, you need to know what's going on. And I was like, how do you want me to do that and run the chili parlor and do all this and take care of that? Yeah, it was insane. Basically, he was just like, tighten up. And all I could do was just, Simu Capitan! It's always felt like I was on a ship. Simu Capitan! Simu Capitan! Tighten up, tighten up. Now the guy was unbelievable. This is weird. There was one spot that I could stand. I wasn't allowed to rotate to the right. Let me go over here and say that. I couldn't rotate to the right. I could only rotate to the left. You know, and the funny thing is about working for this guy is that after a while I realized that everything he laid out made total sense. Because he would walk by that area just to grab some stuff. And if I was rotating the other way, I would knock into him. Yeah. He's like, if you rotate the other way, kid, we just kind of move together. And I thought, yeah, because the place was small. The place was small. I'll tell you, it was one of the greatest jobs I've ever had. It wasn't easy, but all good things usually aren't that easy. And it was so good because I spent so much time looking at myself. And he really helped me tighten up and be more efficient in life. I mean, yeah, it's a chili parlor, but what difference does it make? You know, one day I was watching Joe work. The guy was like an animal. He was moving so fast. There was like 80 people in line. And he was slopping chili and giving drinks and doing all this stuff. He had chili on his face. And he was just like, ah! Yeah, he looked like he had 8 arms. I swear, he looked like an octopus. And he was moving so fast, so efficient. He was moving so much product and money by himself. I had to stop working because I was stunned. And I was looking at him like this. Right? I was looking so stunned that everybody in line stopped ordering, and they were looking at me, stunned, looking at Joe. And then Joe's like, what's going on here? Why is nobody? And then he noticed that all these people were looking at me. And then I'm looking like this. And Joe's like, you know what, kid? I want you to do this. And it's so funny because I swear this is what I did. Because in my head I was like, you got 8 arms and you want me to do that. Yeah, and Joe, he said, you know, kid, I don't care. 1 hand, 2 hands, no hands, 3 hands. You want the job, you got to do the work. You don't want to do the work, you don't want the job. And he's like, I don't care if you have 1 hand, 2 hands, 3 hands, or no hands. And you shouldn't either. And in that moment, I just realized that he was just empowering me to do more and be more, which is what we have to do with each other and have to support each other. Yeah, the guy, you know, he's like one of the greatest mentors I've ever had in my life. He never gave me a compliment. Once he did when I left. He's like, yeah, kid, you did pretty good. Yeah, I worked for him for 2 years. And then one day I went to go get fruit. Joe's like, Alejandro, go down. Andrew, go down and grab the fruit, you know, because the vegetables for the chili parlor. So I went down to the produce stand, and they're like, where's Joe? I'm like, he asked me to come do it. And he's like, well, you work for Joe Canavan? You're that dude that's been working there for 2 years? So he stopped all of his employees, and he said, this is a guy that's been working for Joe Canavan for 2 years, and he doesn't have 2 hands. And everybody... I almost started crying. Everybody in the produce stand stopped working and they gave me a standing ovation. Yeah, they just started clapping. And the guy leaned in, he's like, yeah, that dude's hard to work for. Yeah. Later I find out that most people only worked for Joe for 2 weeks. Yeah, he gave everybody 1 pay period. If they couldn't cut it, he'd let them go. Yeah, in like 18 years, there were only 2 people that lasted more than 2 weeks. Me and some other dude. Yeah, it was really... It was a very prominent point in my life. And I'm telling you this because I believe mentors are so special. And we should all be seeking them out, people to help us. Which is why I mentor people without 2 hands. Because when I was young, I definitely needed a hand. Okay, I know. The second time around, that was not so good. That was not so good. Yeah, I like the one-handed jokes. You know who gets old, who gets tired of the one-handed jokes? Yeah, my brother. He's like, man, I hear that all the time. He's like, but the first time you hear it is good. It's like when I'm carrying stuff, sometimes, you know, I do a lot of musical art and performance, and I always have a lot of gear, and then I'm on stage moving this stuff around, and then people come up to me, and they're like, hey, do you need a hand? What is that, some kind of joke? Oh, you should see people tighten up, they're like, they look so tight, look like they're going to poop a diamond. Yeah, no, it's hilarious, right? I love that one. I can't wait. That one happens to me at least 3 times a week. Yeah, people freak out. My other favorite is just to go there myself, right? Just to go there myself. So sometimes I'm doing work, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking like I'm struggling, and I just look over at someone and say, hey, do you think you can help me out? I'm a little shorthanded at the moment. Yeah. No, that joke's great, man. That joke's great. Once I was in Seattle, right? I was riding the subway on the airport. You know, you got to hold on to those hand things, right? Yeah, those are dangerous because they're hard to grab, right? And if the thing takes off, forget it, right? So I got all this musical gear, and there's these big Samoans in back, right? They had to be in some kind of, like, Samoan band, right? But they get in, and then my timing was off, and the subway thing took off, and it just looked like slow motion. I just reached for the arm thing, and I just missed it, and I just started falling backwards. And there was no way to catch myself. I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm just going down, right? But then there was this Samoan guy behind me, right? And it's so funny because I could kind of feel him, and he didn't move at all. Brother was big, right? And it's so funny because he just absorbed me. He just went, and it was like falling into a cloud. It just went, bah. And then he ejected me. He just went, bam. Right? And I just flew forward. And it's so funny because he kind of had a little attitude. He was like, hey man, you know, you could have used your other hand. So I just turned around. I was like, sorry, bro, I'm a little short-handed. Oh, they had a great time. It was such a great moment. The whole train lit up. You know, and it's great because people just realize I'm okay the way that I am. And that really means something. And that's my whole thing. I just want you to know I'm okay. Right? Because if I'm okay, you're okay. It's easier for you to like yourself. You can see that I like myself. Those are real things. Those are powerful things. Now, you wouldn't think not having two hands is a blessing, but for me it is. And I wouldn't change it for the world. But you got something for me? No? No? All right. Oh, I know. The glove thing. I could go on for years. Yeah, I connected with other one-handed people to trade my gloves out. Yeah, because what am I going to do with a left-handed glove? I got a closet full of them. I'm trying to get those at 50% off, but that's hard. People don't want to part with those. So I'm going to back it up a little bit. I'm going to talk just a minute about high school. Because in high school, I had a hard time in high school. When I was your age, I really struggled a lot. I wanted to do a lot. I didn't get a lot of support. Who was telling a story about their counselor didn't let them do something? One of the ladies that spoke. Don't you think it was great? It was all ladies that spoke? Young ladies? Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. But they mentioned something that their counselor didn't support them. When I went to my counselor because I wanted to take a pottery class, he told me I needed two hands to do pottery. Oh, I was so upset. I was on fire. I just went to go talk to Mrs. Hendricks, and she got upset. She's like, well, I'll show him. You know, and it turned into this big thing, but she ended up, I got to take pottery. You know, I've lived my whole life as an artist. And I've been very fortunate, an artist and a creative. And it's all I've ever wanted to do, and it's what I've done. I've been able to support myself and my mother. It's very beneficial. And I believe that living life as an artist can be a challenge at times, but it's very beautiful. Doing anything you want to do for your whole life is very special. And I just live as a creative. I do a lot of performance art. I'm a professional martial artist. I have 3 black belts. I ran a martial arts school for 10 years. I do some singing, not that well, but I love doing it, dancing. I play musical instruments. I've had a lot of art shows. Bobby and I have done a lot of art shows together. We've put on art shows. I build a lot of sculptures. My mom still has sculptures I built for her when I was in the first grade, these cute little things. It's all I've ever done, and it's all I wanted to do. So when I wanted to become an artist in high school, they said no, I was really upset. Mrs. Hendricks, she kept looking out for me. I took pottery for 3 years and photography for 3 years. It's like my first loves of art. And Mrs. Hendricks, she was always watching out for me, but you know what's funny? Now I used to get in a lot of trouble. I think that's why I take care of my mom right now, because I gave her so much grief when I was young. Man, I can't even tell you how many times I almost got suspended. Just think about that guy that's always getting in trouble in school. Yeah, that was this guy right here. Right? And then one day in pottery class, I'm not quite sure what I did, but I did something. And Mrs. Hendricks threw a book, and everyone was stunned because she's so sweet. And even the girl next to me, the girl that never got in trouble, she looked at me, she's like, Alejandro's going to get killed. I I thought for sure that was it. And I knew walking out, she actually screamed. She's like, Alejandro, get out of here, get in the hallway. And I was like, oh, this is it? And I started thinking, I was like, what am I going to tell my mom? My dad's going to beat me up. You know, what's going to happen? So I get out in the hallway. And I'm waiting for Mrs. Hendricks. And she opens up the door. And she's got fire in her eyes, right? And she's like 68 at the time, you know, which I thought was like super old, right? And then she started charging me like a bull. Man, she came out of the gate so fast. I was free. I was frozen. Hitting up against the wall, I thought for sure she was just going to plow me over. And if not, put me in a kiln and cook me. Yeah, I thought that was it. And then she got right in front of me and she stopped. And then she got real soft like my grandmother. And she said, you know, Alejandro, not everyone could live their life as an artist and make it work, but you could. And she said, the world needs more artists like you. And she just left. I can't even remember what happened. But that woman changed my whole life before I met Joe. Yeah. And I've been an artist my whole life, and I've made it work. And it all goes back to this one moment that someone actually took a little kindness on me and helped me out and pushed me in the right direction. You know, when I ran my martial arts school, I had a great kids program. I always supported all the children's dreams. Anything you wanted to be in my world, like basically it was a school for Jedi Knights, you know, right? Or like Xavier, school for mutants, that kind of thing. Like whatever you wanted to do, I would support. One day this girl's like, oh, I want to be a professional clown. And her parents were like, oh. So I helped her get into clown college. And you didn't think that was clown college, but in Canada, that's huge. And they got the clown conservatory down in San Francisco. Yeah, now she's a professional clown. Yeah, her dad's still kind of upset. But yeah, Audrey's so happy. She's like, it's my dream. Yeah, I helped her get the audition. I created her audition tape. I did a bunch of work for her. And I helped support her dream because those things are important. Because I always remember what Mrs. Hendricks did for me, my high school art teacher. And I think as a teacher, what's more important is that you inspire people, not just teach people things. It's really important to inspire people. Now, you remember that little story I was telling you about my one-handed, my million-dollar gesture? This one? So not bad, not bad. All right. Yeah, you know where I learned that from? My mom. My mom showed me how to do that. And it happened like when I was 6 years old, I used to hate going to the beach. Man, I used to hate going to the beach. Let's just get stared at, you know. Kids gawking and all kinds of stuff. I didn't understand why. But my mom loved going to the beach, so what can you do as a six-year-old? She's just dragging me by my hair to the beach, right? And then I'm at the beach, and I'm building, you know, these kids are gawking at me. These two little boys are like my age, just doing that. It's so stereotypical. They're like, yeah, I was hideous, you know, and I'm like in the sand, like I'm just like, oh, let's make this little freaking sand kiss. So, I was so upset. And then my mom, she leaned over, she's like, do it. I was like, no. She's like, do what I told you. I was like, no. She's like, you better do it. I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then she paused for a moment, and she got mama tone. You know mama tone? Yeah, you do. Do it! I was like, okay. I'll do it. So I stood up, and I looked right at those little two little boys, and I went like this. Man, they took off! Oh, it was so special. It was so, so special. I looked at my mom, I was like, you're pretty cool. Yeah, I use that all the time. I got this shirt, check it out. I got this shirt that says I was born like this. Holly, you could wear one too, right? Yeah, I came out of the box this way, right? So one day I'm at this festival and I'm wearing this shirt and I see this girl walking towards me, like, sea of people. She's walking towards me on her cell phone and I can read her lips. She's like, yeah, some dude there with a shirt on says I was born like this. And right then, I was kind of sitting down and went like this. Right? And she was like, poop, poop. She almost fell. Then she looked back at me. I was like, gotcha. But at that same festival, this guy came up behind me and he's like, hey, man, I love that shirt. Because I saw you like yawning from behind and I saw you didn't have two hands. And I was like wondering, what happened to that guy? And I turned around and the shirt said, oh, I was born like this. I get asked that question a lot. What happened? Usually I say nothing. This 9-year-old boy asked me, he's like, what's wrong with your arm? I was like, nothing. He looked all confused. was like, nothing, man, I was born like this. What do you think is wrong with me? Nothing. I came out like this. What do you want? Right? Yeah, I love playing with little kids' minds. Yeah, it's fun. They're really endearing and very joyful. And it's, you know, it's interesting living life without two hands. Like, I got to get my clothes custom cut because they just look better, but they also don't get in the way. Got that sleeve flapping. I hate that. And if you're wearing like a hoodie and a jacket, my arm's all puffed up, can't move, you know, so I just cut them off. And then it's like one-handed fashion that looks good. Sometimes people don't even notice, okay? They don't even notice, like, what's going on with the hand thing. They're like, I said, what's going on with that jacket? I'm like, oh, I don't have two hands. I got my jacket custom cut. I started doing this as a martial artist because my sleeve was always in the way. And then it just went into everything. I get all my clothes custom cut. It costs a little bit of cash. But sometimes you got to pay up in life. You got to pay up, and it works. This one guy gave me this compliment. He's like, man, you look so good. And then I think he got a little like, oh, I can't believe I said that to another dude. But he's like, no, I don't mean you. I mean you and the coat. And then he's like, the one hand, he's like, never mind. I was like, hey, man, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate that. It's like sometimes when I'm walking, you know, like dudes whistle at me. Then I turn around, I'm like, thanks, bro. Yeah, once I was at this festival, and this guy wanted to pass by, right? I can tell you this because you're close to adults, right? You're adultish. But he grabbed me by my hips from behind, right? Yeah, I know girls laugh when I say that because there's a, like, he just grabbed onto my hips, and I was like, oh, he thinks I'm a girl, right? And then he got it real close behind me. He's like, excuse me. And I just looked over. I was like, no problem. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, don't worry, bro. I got pretty hair. And he's like, you do. Right? So, such a great quality. But, you know, one of the great things about my hair, it's almost longer than my arm. I can almost hide behind it, right? So, you know, sometimes the one-handed thing can also get, like, a little funky. Like I said, there's a lot of benefits. And sometimes it's just standard human interaction. Standard human interaction. So one day I'm at my friend's house. My martial arts student invited me over. And I'm over at his house, and his mom's got, like, she hurt her arm. I can't remember, like, a couple of her fingers or something. She's in a half cast, and she's trying to cut onions, right? And I'm watching her because I'm like, oh, she's, like, part-time one-handed. And so I'm just going to watch how she kind of does things, you know? She didn't know I was watching her, but she's just doing this thing. And people forget I don't have two hands. It's an energy thing. I'm really even, right? And she's cutting, and she's like, wow, you know what? Having one hand would suck, right? And everybody in the house was like, whoa. And then they do this. They all look at me. I was like, Sally, it's not that bad. I get 50% off all manicures, right? And so she started crying. Oh, she felt so bad. And that's happened a few times. Like, this one time, this woman was trying to pass me a plate. Now, if you pass me a plate to my short side, I can't grab it like I got a hand. Right? This is not going to happen. Thank you. Right? You got to turn it sideways and put it under my arm. Don't do that with a full plate of food. Right? But then I can grab it and move on. Right? But she's trying to pass me this plate. She's like, here, take it. What's going on? Oh, take it, take it. She's like, take the plate! Use your other hand! I just turned over. I was like, oh, yeah, she started crying. What can you do? All you can do is console people in that moment, make sure they're okay. It's no big deal. I don't mind. I don't mind. I mean, if you ask me if I need a hand, I might say yes. But most of the time, I say no. Actually, I like the way that I am. It's really important. And these people that helped me, you know, what they really did for me is they helped me find my own voice. And not just like professional speaking. Now, I've been very fortunate as a professional speaker. I've spoken in 8 different countries. I've traveled the world. I've shared my story. And I've had a lot of fun. But I mean just finding who I am and doing the things that I love to do and just trying to be the person that I want to be. I mean, one of the great benefits of not having two hands is that I'm more creative. By default, I got to figure out how to drive cars and tie shoes and get jobs and do things. So naturally, I have to be more creative. And that's just led into being more artistic. And I love performance art. I love being on stage. I'm normally not here all summer long. Or I would have prepped for the talent show. Man, you guys got some good talent here. But I was inspired by the piano player. So I brought a couple instruments. I'm gonna play a couple of my weird instruments. Now, part of my thing is that I'm a little bit weird, but kind of cool. So at least that's what people tell me. So I play some funky instruments. Who's heard of a theremin? Okay, a couple people, I play the theremin. Okay, what about a didgeridoo? A few more people, okay, didgeridoo. What about a crackle box? Nobody's heard of the crackle box? Okay, that one's a winner. All right, I'm gonna play a little bit of didgeridoo for you guys. Stuff and some other funky stuff. I live a really interesting life because I want to. Right? I love traveling and trying new food and just having fun and being an artist. But you can go to my website or you can just Google me, One Hand Speaks podcast. Yeah, One Hand Speaks. Tell a lot of great stories. I think I got something over there. I like when I point my short side. I'm like right over there. You know, when I do that, people don't look. They just stare at my arm. I'm like, that's so weird. You guys ever do hand signals when you're driving? Yeah, it looks really weird. So you can check out my podcast, One Hand Speaks, or just Google it. I'm all over, like, Apple or Spotify or all that kind of stuff. And then I'm getting ready to build my AlejandroAnastasio.com website. So that's not fully up yet. That's not really even done, but it's up. But in, I don't know, a couple weeks, check it out. I'm going to be doing a lot more vlogs and things like that, so... Find me online, Twitter, all that stuff. I spend a lot of time doing digital things. So mostly at One Hand Speaks something. You'll find me there. Check me out, follow me along, that kind of thing. I like to tell stories, as I said. So I do the podcast, and I get asked a lot, mostly when I'm traveling around the world, just to tell stories about my one-handed life. And you know, the funny thing is like, you might think it's amazing that I can do some of the things that I can do, but then there's people with no arms doing more than me. Yeah. Yeah, did you know that most people that don't have arms don't have hands? I know you got to think about that for a second. Can you say that again? Yeah, most people who don't have arms don't have hands. But some people have hands but don't have arms. Yeah, I know, yeah, they have no arms but their hands are coming out of their shoulder. Yeah, so see, there's a lot of diversity and disability. And the fact that I actually have this much of an arm past my elbow is a blessing. Yeah, if I had less... Many things would be difficult, and if I didn't have an elbow, all that changes. Everything changes, right? But there used to be a guy in the 18th century in France, had no legs, no arms, but hands and feet. Yeah. So his feet came out of his hips, and his arms came out of his hands came out of his shoulders, and he was a famous juggler. Yeah, my man. Yeah, he's a famous. Here, I'll laugh for you. Talk about working the system, right? You know, talk about turning a limitation into unlimited power. Bintuk was making more money than most handed people. Right? Yeah, I know, it's insane. Yeah, there's all kinds of people, no parts, doing great things. This woman with no arms, no legs, famous painter. Paints with her mouth. You know, I look at people doing that and look down at me, I think, oh, I could probably do a little more. I'm always inspired. Oh, hold on, my hair's in my face. I'm always inspired. And I like to share those stories because I think they're funny and endearing. I like the quality of deep and humorous, right? Entertaining and enlightening. I think that's a great quality. It can't just be like enlightening. Well, you could. And humorous is great, but if you're not really sharing a story, what can you do? Right? So I like to tell those. I like to tell those. I totally forgot what I was going to say. You guys remember? Well, I was traveling the world telling stories. Oh, this is it. I usually don't speak that much of my accomplishments, right? Because I don't want my whole speech to like focus on me, like, oh, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. I more want to empower you. But I think it's important that I do share some things. Like, I do actually have 3 black belts. Yeah. Oh, did I say that? I didn't say that earlier, did I? Oh, okay, it's like a bonus surprise. Yeah, I have 3 black belts. I have a black belt in Kaju Kempo Karate, a black belt in Danzanru Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm a 3rd-degree black belt in Aikido, Japanese martial art. That's my main black belt. Okay. Could you clap a little louder? You guys are great. I also rode my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. Yeah, I know. You know, and people were stunned that I did it without 2 hands. The hand part wasn't even that hard. You know what was really hard? Sitting on this seat for 10 hours a day. Man, my butt hurt. Yeah, just pedaling across America. Yeah, no, it's totally good. 62 days. Yeah, I camped out. I took all my equipment. I cooked out. I had a great time. My goal when I was younger was to ride my bicycle around the world. I mean, maybe I'll still do that. I think it would be fantastic. And then you write a book and you never know what could happen. Right? But hey, man, when my number's up, I really want to know that I've done a lot of great things for my life to improve the quality of my life. Not just chase money. Not just do those things, but empower myself and become a more well-rounded person. When I was in college, you guys are pretty close to college. I would kick the new knowledge, acquire some education. It's the main ticket. And that's all I'm going to say because you've been hearing that all the time, but it's true. When I was in college, I was also ranked top 20 in the nation in pocket billiards. Yeah, I should have mean game of pool. Do you know how much money I've taken from people? It's so funny. Like, I'll go gambling. Like, I actually used to have a backer. He supplied the money, and I just shoot pool. Right? We traveled around Indiana and go to all these tournaments. But then after the tournaments, there'd be all this action. Right? People want to play for big money. So I'd show up, and they're like, oh, look, the one-handed dude. Let's give him a handicap. I'll give him an advantage, right? Okay, you can have the break or the 8-ball or this kind of... I'll take whatever you want. And then after I took a bunch of their money, they're like, we just got hustled. Yeah, I actually put myself through college in Indiana shooting pool. Yeah, amazing. And then I play a number of musical instruments. And I live as an artist. And I do this because I've found a way to turn what people think is a limitation into unlimited power. Right? I've transformed something bad into something good. I've transformed any anger that I have at my life or at people into something positive. And I think it's the main ticket. We're born the way that we're born. We've got to work with what we got. You got to find the things that you're good at and expand on. You got to find mentors to help you. That's my advice. And I'd really look at yourself and be honest with yourself. I mean, one day I had to really realize, like, okay, I don't have 2 hands. Like, I didn't know that. But I was like, okay, what kind of things can I really work at? Like, what can I push the envelope on? Okay, like, rock climbing? Probably not a good idea for me. But other things are, so that's why I'm into the martial arts. I probably could have done really well in sports. Actually wanted to be a professional baseball player. Yeah, but look at me. I'm not tall enough. All right. But yeah, there was Jim Abbott, right? He had 1 hand. He's a professional baseball player, professional pitcher. Yeah, won a gold medal, and the guy was great. He actually had a no-hitter, which is so rare. One-handed dude, come on. But I thought, okay, I could work on these musical instruments. So basically, I found a way to empower myself. And I started to figure things out for myself. And that's the advice that I want to share with you. I don't let people tell me what's impossible for me. I figure that out for myself. You can believe whatever you want. It's cool. I got no problem with it. Right? You think I can't do something? Great. It just tells me more about the quality of your thinking. And in my life, I would rather have a disabled body than disabled thinking. Because when you think you can't do something, you're totally disabled. And I'd rather have one hand and have strong thinking, powerful thinking. I don't want my thinking to be disabled. And I never think to myself, I can't do that. I always think I'll find a way. I'll be creative. I'll work it out. And that is what I want for you. Cool? All right. Okay, now it's time for good applause. I'm going to get off stage.
He's going to perform all these instruments on my wedding next year. I'm super excited.
Thank you so much.
It's going to be great. Thank you so much, Alejandro. Everyone, one more time for Alejandro Anastasio. That was fantastic. I love it.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.